Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the After Buzz podcast. My name is Nico Edgemian, and your host of the After Buzz. And of course, with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
And today, Joanna Barba.
Hola.
Hola, senora. So I have a couple other news nugs I didn't really get a chance to get into.
We ran out of show.
Yeah, we ran out of show. So apparently, the MAGA Civil War. There is a civil war brewing.
Oh, dear.
Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson have been going at it online, exchanging mean posts.
Do you think people lost all respect for Elon Musk, like even the people
who
hired him?
I think a few people.
Not only did you
lash out, but then you bitched out. Yeah. Definitely lost a lot of respect for him.
You know who I feel sorry for? Those nice guys from the Tesla dealership.
Yeah.
I feel really terrible.
So nice.
They're such nice guys and
really
they're big
nice
fans
guys.
Of the show. And it's just like, dude, this was a bad draw for you guys.
I just don't see the appeal of the companies he works for anymore. Like, I wouldn't want to
Tesla.
Well,
he's a toxic brand.
It's a toxic to the brand, which goes to show you that a lot of times...
He's tainted.
Are you going to go buy the P. Diddy branded baby oil?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Well, actually, maybe. That wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah. Actually... We
That's
should make that up,
idea.
Sell it on Etsy. That's a good idea. P. Diddy baby oil. All you gotta do is make the fake labels and put them over the regular Johnson & Johnson.
And sell them like that.
Yeah, people would buy them.
So, I guess, who did you just mention before P. Diddy? Oh, Elon. So, I guess he thought he was untouchable. I guess he thought that no matter what he did in his personal life, it would never affect his businesses. Which is crazy to think, right? Because don't CEOs, don't a lot of corporate cultures have like morality clauses in their contracts or like you can't be caught like smoking meth or crack, otherwise you ruin the...
Sure, this would be disastrous. And it has been for Elon.
It has, finally.
His valuation has dropped by more money than you and everybody you know are ever going to see in your lifetime.
Or
billions,
ever would have.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, so there is that. But I want to go back to this civil war that's brewing in the MAGA universe. So Tucker Carlson and
I think
Trump,
Tucker is trying to get it. I mean, I think he's doing whatever he can to get attention from the MAGA base.
Well, just listen. Listen to the story. How about that? So Tucker Carlson has dropped scathing attacks on Donald Trump and Fox News, his former employee. He was just on the Steve Bannon podcast to discuss Israel and Iran, but he was also getting into other things like who he liked to work with and who he didn't. Turns out Steve Bannon also feels like there is problems in Trump world. He is saying the Trump 2.0 project could be at risk because he thinks that he's listening to deep state hawks.
Mm.
Foreign policy hawks. Like, they don't want him to go into Iran at all.
We just shouldn't have anything to do with any conflict elsewhere in the world.
Right.
That's what Bannon and Tucker think.
Tucker are for. Meanwhile, Laura Loomer continues to defend Trump and now is attacking Tucker Carlson on his behalf.
Also, isn't Tucker going at it with Mark Levin?
Yes. He said, well, Levin's the funniest because he's a terrible on TV. he sounds whiny. Anyways.
Yeah, but you have the most punchable face ever to appear on television.
But
Tucker.
I think it's just more interesting because in this MAGA Civil War, so Tucker and Trump at it. Bannon and not Trump at it, but kind of. Laura Loomer at it with Tucker Carlson. Marjorie Taylor Greene defending Tucker Carlson and lashing out at Laura Loomer.
Hmm.
What the hell?
Right?
Get the red yarn so that I can keep up with the list.
It's this bubble. And Tulsi Gabbard is somehow getting thrown.
When you get that many people with these fragile egos, I mean, made of glass.
Glass, absolutely. Cause,
and they look up to the biggest of them all, which is
right.
Donald Trump. I mean,
but they're all trying to build a brand.
Also, I hear that his management style, Trump likes to get people to fight. That's just
these people
enjoys.
Don't work for him. These people are like the outskirts of things, you know?
Yeah, but they're definitely in that MAGA orbit, all of them.
Well, it's different when you have a meeting where you can see the people fighting with each other as opposed to like, well, everybody's just bitching.
I think
bitching
he likes reading about it in the news, too.
I don't think so. I think it's really, I think it's crippling his agenda, and I think it's making supporters turn in different ways.
Well, every time you got to pick a side. I mean, some people during the Elon Musk, which is only 2 weeks ago that this was going, less than 2 weeks ago.
I have lived several lifetimes since.
I guess
in 2 weeks.
Few people aligned with Elon Musk. And they must feel like real dummies now.
It seems like they're eating each other. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah, it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of fellas.
Yeah, it couldn't have happened to a bunch of nicer people. All right, now let's talk about Israel's first air attack, okay? The first strikes that they did, remember? When was that even? God, you're right, Joanna. It feels like weeks have gone by.
Yeah.
Well, when I mean, it goes back to
Iran. No. When? No, it doesn't. Israel did the strikes first. You know that, right?
I will need to check that and get back with you.
What do you mean? Google it. That's how it happened.
We talked about it in the news.
It's in the news. Israel did airstrikes against Iran first.
Why they say Israel's unprecedented.
Unprecedented preemptive strike. Did you not know that? Did you not know that Israel had done a preemptive strike?
No, I thought there had been some kind of confrontation between the two countries not that long ago.
No, completely preemptive.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess I'll take your word for it.
Just look up, did Israel do a preemptive strike? I mean, that...
Keep reading down to the simplified explanation.
Without doing that and bogging down the show, I'll say I accept what you're saying.
We're not on a show. This is a podcast. So just look up what you need to understand it.
True.
But did you see what he typed, Joanna?
Yeah.
Explain the Israel-Iran conflict simply. Like, that's going to give you whether there was a preemptive strike or not.
Well, that's not what I was looking up. I mean, I just wanted to find out. You know, in the given time that I have, which isn't much, it says that Israel has launched preemptive strikes in various situations throughout its history.
No, look at the most recent one, Operation Rising Lion, June 2025.
Recent reports indicate that Israel launched preemptive strikes against Iran's nuclear program and long-range missile capability.
So, okay. You see that now. You agree. Okay. That we have to operate from the same basis. So that's what happened.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because he was about to say something, he was about to be like, "Well, they've always been at it. They've
well, it's been kind of war by proxy. There had not been
an active war between Israel or missiles between each other before this. So, this was absolutely a preemptive strike. But they also were able to kill all the top generals for Iran in one strike. It was a decapitation strike, what they call. And do you know how they did it?
How did they do it?
A fake phone call.
Oh, man, do you remember all the phones that blew up?
Yeah. Those were pagers.
That was pagers. That was Hamas.
Yeah, that wasn't the Iranian. Well, but still, there's a lot of crossover there.
Hamas are Palestinians. They live in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Israel Secret Services used a fake phone call to trick the top commanders of Iran's Air Force into gathering at a single location.
Hey, guys, let's go out for pizza this weekend.
Like yes. That. Yes.
Let's all get together and talk about evil.
there was no one to give the order to fire in response to their attack.
Because they killed them all?
They
killed
them all.
Anybody who had the authority to... Yeah,
everybody. That was in charge of their air defense.
They didn't get the Ayatollah?
Not in that, but I'm saying for the air defense. Anybody that had operational control over the military. The Ayatollah doesn't have
any.
What
do you mean, a fake phone call?
Yeah, so Mossad initiated a targeting disinformation effort just days before the strike, using falsified communications through Iranian channels. They triggered what appeared to be an emergency meeting. They were like, all right, we got to get everybody in here. We got to get everybody. So they were able to get the entire senior leadership of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, their entire aerospace force, including the general Amir Ali Hazdeya, all of his deputies and all of the technical personnel into one fortified bunker outside Tehran.
Well, I would tell you, I like that approach. I mean,
I like that approach too.
I'm a pretty peaceful person, but, you know, instead of just lobbing missiles that could hit anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, this seemed to be, as you said, targeted.
The strike was even more effective than expected. How sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good, I mean, like you said, it's better to have that than civilians.
I mean, as much as you can in a situation like that, it seems like there was at least some thought going into minimizing civilian casualties.
What do you think about the pager attack?
Awesome.
A lot of people complained that there were that did have collateral damage.
Well, because people were standing next to the people when their pager blew up.
Yeah.
So how do you if there was a child that even got hurt from it, how would you feel?
A lot less than carpet bombing would have been. You know, if they're like, we're just gonna bomb the hell out
but
of where
even
we think
these one child's life, is it worth that?
Well, you know, the term collateral damage is a loaded term to begin with.
Well, that, it's
know,
a sanitized word.
Yeah,
it means murdered other people or killed other people on the side. It reminds me of the trolley.
But conventional war kills a lot more innocent people.
Sure.
A lot more.
Sure.
I mean, it's almost like they're ingenious in the ways that they come up with to
it
kill
was
their
ingenious
enemies.
Yeah, no, that was ingenious. Like, diabolical ingenious.
And it was a long con. These people had these pagers, which were rigged to explode.
I think what they did was they bought, Mossad bought the manufacturer of the pagers.
Hey.
Yeah.
These are our, we'll make the pagers.
We'll make
the, way
the pagers
we want to
now. Yeah, that's better.
Did they continue to sell the pagers to people who weren't Hamas?
That's a really
good. Since they were running the company?
That's a really good question. Huh. So
you wouldn't want to get those confused, you know. Hey, don't send out the exploding pagers to Ireland.
Right.
You know, or whatever.
So I was, you know, Joanna, I was watching those Dean Withers videos a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that kind of, he's like a, I don't know, he's like a Democratic liberal commentator, a influencer that kind of.
He's one of these guys that a lot of his videos are like, watch this guy destroy.
Right.
You know, MAGA dude. Or
well, you know what's even more interesting is that you don't get to see who he's talking to, but you hear them.
Yeah.
And some of the things they say are insane. Like Dean Withers asked one, who would you rather be president, Kamala Harris or Vladimir Putin?
And they go with Putin.
And they go with Putin. Yeah. After a while of going,
fortunately, they got their way.
hey.
I mean, nice. Essentially, it's.
But then you see his face and you go, how do these people even think these things? How can you even think that?
Alice is not a woman.
Right? That's basically what they're saying.
Putin's what?
I would rather have the Russian dictator be our American president than that American person.
I think a lot of people are not as sophisticated politically as you give credit for. I think a lot of people are like, Trump seems to be cool with Putin, therefore I'm cool with Putin.
Yeah, I have heard that. Like,
whoa.
Look at the strides our president has made to forge this connection
with Russia.
I'm going to go on vacation in a week. When I'm on vacation,
we'll
I really don't consume a lot of news.
Good.
I do the same thing.
And I think a lot of people are like that all the time. It's just, you know, but I do like Trump.
When they're like, I don't listen
and
to the news.
Trump seems to be friends with Putin, so I guess I like Putin at least better than Kamala. Mystery solved.
Yeah.
I think you're giving a lot of people, a lot of Americans especially, you know what our national rate of voter turnout is.
Very low.
You're assuming everybody has this broad base of knowledge, and that's
not
realistic.
I just think during the Cold War, do you think you would have heard anybody say, oh, I really want Khrushchev. I would rather have Khrushchev.
Yeah, commies.
Yeah, actual communists.
Actual communists would.
Yeah, actual.
But the Soviet Union hasn't existed.
No, I know
almost 35 years.
But it was as much as an existential threat, I think, as Putin could be today. Here are some other ones that Dean Withers asked people. He goes,
By the way, this kid looks like he's 12.
Oh, right.
He does look super young. He asked one woman, so what do you think is worse, being Hitler or being an atheist? She says, being an atheist, obviously.
Because at least if you're Hitler, maybe you go to heaven.
Right. That's exactly what she said.
Maybe Hitler had a last-minute bunker conversion.
She says, I would rather somebody go to heaven, at least have the potential. And he goes, what?
Oh, yeah. That's totally within the mainstream of evangelical Christianity. If the worst person you could imagine, Hitler, prayed to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive his sins, ticket right to heaven.
Yeah, for sure.
Gandhi, hell. No, serious. Gandhi's a Hindu?
Because he's Hindu.
An unrepentant Hindu goes to hell.
My brain exploded when I heard her, and she continued to defend, like, being an atheist is the worst thing in the world.
See,
worse than being Hitler.
I think I kind of understand these people and where they're coming from.
Kind of.
And you expect them to know better.
Dean Withers, 20 years old.
So no, but then he goes on to say, oh, 25?
20.
Oh, he's just 20. Yeah, he's a baby. He goes.
Dean Withers sounds like that could be the principal, dean of students in Animal House.
Do you want to give me a dollar a week so I can subscribe to the New York Times so I could read this article on Dean Withers?
Nope.
Oh, there's a New York Times article about him?
Yeah. Could Dean Withers be one of the Democrats' TikTok bro?
Yes.
Well, he lays these traps for people, and they happily, it seems like, walk right into them.
Are they really traps if they're happily walking into them?
Right. If they can't articulate their own points of view well enough to not fall into a trap like that.
And I guess when people go on and talk to this kid, they know what he's all
they know.
About.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're
ready to confront that. And
to debate this topic.
You would
I mean.
Think. So you shouldn't be so easily lured into a losing conversation.
You shouldn't.
Or at the very least, keep your
but
composure.
Again, I think you guys are giving too many people credit for being much more savvy or sophisticated than they actually are. I think a lot of people just, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. That's the way it is.
You know, I was thinking about it, actually, the similar topic to this, but during the protest this weekend, I mean, we all... The No Kings protest. We all heard about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was easy to ignore both the Trump parade, and it was easy to ignore the No Kings.
Yeah, I just did other stuff.
I just did other stuff. I buried my head in the sand, and I just was like, I don't give a fuck.
I mean, ideologically, yeah. I am on the side of the No Kings people, because
right.
a lot of this does seem kind of kingy.
I didn't feel the need to go and stand out in the heat and protest
I didn't
with
either.
Them.
But I will tell you this. If I didn't have anything to distract myself with, if I didn't have some TV to watch, some on-demand TV or some
games.
You would
have been out there?
I would have been ruminating and thinking about all the things.
Oh, you would have been stewing in the news.
I think we would be seeing massive protests against Donald Trump if we didn't have so many distractions for people to be like, you know what? This is too much for me. I just need... Like in the 60s. You don't like the reason that the protests were able to ramp up so high was because everybody was talking about Vietnam, you know.
But not in most of America. In some of the in
college towns,
and
cities, maybe
San Francisco. There's a lot of that. If you went out to the middle part of the United States, other than college towns. You would have found a pretty conservative group of people in the 1960s.
But do you think it would have been easier to escape the information?
Yeah, because you didn't have news 24 hours a day. You had it once a day, and it was Walter Cronkite telling you.
And he's telling you, this many
much
people...
Much the way it is.
This many people died today. This many,
burr.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling there would be more political activism if it wasn't so easy to be like, you know what, I just don't care.
We get fatigued really easily.
It's so easy to get fatigued.
There is
burnout.
A burnout going on. I would just say, and I say this to myself as much as I say it to anybody else, resist that. You need to be alert and you need to be
it's so
cognizant.
Hard,
I know.
I just want to watch The Nanny.
Life is so hard. I know.
Forget about. Well, no, because it also feels like
you don't feel like you don't feel like adulting today.
No,
I
no,
know what you guys.
No, it's about
shut
like.
Up.
Yeah. Is worrying about Trump's military parade adulting? No, that's not adulting. I don't need to be aware of
no,
that.
No,
to
no,
adult.
No. But by saying I don't want to. Or I just want to remove myself from all of this, or I want to bury my head.
Yeah, because sometimes,
or maybe for an hour or two, I just don't want to. I want to close the tab on this one.
Yeah,
I did not regret that I was kind of unplugged on Saturday from everything that was going on.
Exactly,
you were an adulting.
Yeah,
I have heard though that the parade was kind of a bust, and that there's some reporting that Trump, these are the words they use, reamed out Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth for the. Low energy parade.
There are multiple videos of the troops marching and not in sync. They're just kind of lost.
Is that what that's about? I've seen a lot of videos where they're like,
and
the army
them,
knows how to march. They just didn't want to march.
Yes. So a lot of people, a lot of the comments were that it was their silent form of protest.
To not march
well at all. It's like sloppy. Like they were just kind of casual. I've seen
also,
the videos.
Some of
them. Were they the hottest ones? Because that's what Trump wants.
They were not that hot.
They also dressed in costumes. Some of them were revolutionary soldiers. Some of them were World War I doughboys. Some, they were dressing. This is not a serious administration. This is a reality show that's going on.
When somebody
he was a reality show guy. Yeah. So.
But it's all about optics. So he's livid that the optics were bad.
When you hear somebody talk about central casting so much, you know he's more of
look at this guy. He's a man's man, like right out of central casting.
He's more of a movie producer than he is a president, and he just wants it to look good. So
there were more people at the Coldplay concert than at this guy's parade. So.
In our app chat, somebody said, "What do you mean Joanna's getting funny? She's funnier than all of you." I was like,
you guys Joanna's always hilarious. Try and take like this credit of, "I made you guys, you made you funnier." I've always been funny. You guys just never let me talk.
I think you've kind of come into your own.
You definitely weren't
more.
As funny.
Because you guys never let me talk.
No, you definitely weren't
say
as funny.
Say something funny now.
Yeah, say something funny.
I did right now about the Coldplay concert.
Dude.
I accept that. All right. That's good.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLAQ. I'll pass the best rock. Talk to you next time.